Hey, come on.
Welcome to the History Conference of Narcotics Anonymous. We are grateful you came out to join us this weekend. We have a few simple requests. One, please enjoy yourself and your weekend. Two, the smoking area is outside the back of the restaurant. Please remember our behavior is a direct reflection of what the public sees as Narcotics Anonymous. Three, please turn off all your cell phones and keep distractions to a minimum to respect NA members sharing and listening. Four, can we please open the meeting with a serenity prayer? God,
bring us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Can we please have the following reading of Who's an Addict?
My name is Jake, I'm a recovering addict. Hey. Hi, Jake. Who's an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question, you know. Our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another. Getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. To live and use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. With people in grips with continuing and progressive illness, the end are always the same. Jails, institutions, and death.
Why are we here?
We cannot manage our own lives. We cannot live and enjoy life as other people do. Yeah, that's something different. We place our use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. Yeah, that's ours at all costs. We did many people great harm, but we must have always harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibility, we were actually creating our own problems. We seem to be incapable of facing life on our own terms. Most of us realize in our addiction we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we've lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail without help in medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods were sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until in desperation we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point and recovery is then possible.
Now it's time to introduce the speaker and the topic. The topic is basic text, concepts to print. Speaker is George R. from
Life at 11.
Life at 11, Bucks County.
I'm George, I'm an addict. It's awesome to be up here sharing about my involvement. I haven't done this before. I want to thank John for kind of leading the way. I'm not a historian. I'm up here because of my experience involved with the writing of the basic text. It's been a very, it was a very emotional up and down process for me. I want to thank Billy just to show you how long ago it was. See this young guy here? Yeah. It's not somebody else. That was me in Memphis. And it also, I still see that guy. You know, I don't know where he went, but I didn't come into Narcotics Anonymous to get clean. I didn't start making meetings till I had a couple years clean already. I had gone to a rehab, and I got recovered. And then what? I still have a diploma at home. It says I'm a recovered addict. You know, thought you'd appreciate. I should have brought that. That, you know, would have loved that. But my rehab didn't stress us making meetings of any kind. And it, my first NA meeting happened to be at that rehab. And I like to just open up with this because this is what made NA my home. I hallucinated my first 40 days clean. The prognosis was that I was going to be that way for the rest of my life, and I had to learn to live with that one day at a time. You know, early on I had asked a couple times, hey, you know, like, I can't handle this. And they said, can you make it through today? And I stayed clean just so it wouldn't get any worse than what it was. Somewhere during the first couple weeks, they had a Wednesday night advanced sexuality group, which my buddy went to, but since I was new, I could not be part of that, and they happened to have an NA meeting there. And so he said, because this guy was sort of took me under his wing. He knew me when I was using, and he asked me, like, when I had a couple weeks clean, what do you do? And I said, I sit at home. And he says, no, but what do you do? I said, I sit at home. I said, I'm afraid to go out. I don't know. And he said, well, I'm going to come pick you up. And this guy would take me to groups or meetings. Not too many meetings, but we would go bowling or whatever. But he would make sure that he included me. So when he was going to his sexuality group, he dropped me off at the meeting. I wasn't allowed to speak in the rehab because I was crazy. And whatever you had to say, I was better. But anyway, at the meeting, everyone shared. They asked me to share. I told them I wasn't allowed. I would get kicked out. They all laughed. This is NA. You don't understand. They asked me to share, and I shared. And after I got, well, I didn't get done. I never get done. they said, we're out of time. Thanks for sharing. Keep coming back. Man, I must have sounded pretty important to these guys. I can't wait to, like, grace them again, you know, some other time. I didn't know what NA was, you know, and I eventually I was not able to go to that meeting because I, you know, went through the process of the rehab. But what wound up happening is the people that I went through the program with were eventually getting high, and I was by myself. There was a couple of us, and one of the things I knew that I needed people in recovery to stay clean, and you know, one of my girlfriend was seeing a therapist. This was at Riverside North in Bucks County, in Bristol, and her name was Eileen Martin, was her therapist, and Eileen Martin suggested to her, as a thing for us to do, that we start an NA meeting. And that's how I got involved with NA. I got involved with NA because I wanted to hang out with people in recovery. She got high. Another guy that was in there that was part of the group got high. And I wound up, actually she got high with my best friend, and I wound up sitting in that meeting by myself. And didn't take me too long to figure out there was an inpatient rehab where they would allow us to take people to meetings, like people that could give us a ride to a meeting. I said, sure, if you come to my meeting, you know. So I was guaranteed. I had a little Chevy Monza. It was a 79, and we would stuff six other people in there, and I was guaranteed I'd have seven people at my meeting every week, you know. And because I hear these people talk about where they sat in the rooms by themselves for a year. I'm like, weren't there no rehabs where they could steal people from, you know? And I figured eventually then people would get out and they would come back, and then we would have eight people or nine, you know. And also I talk about I went through, there was a point in time where I was very lonely because I was like, I was by myself, and I, you know, NA hadn't really started, and you know, I was no longer in rehab, and all my, like, there was nobody, and I would actually go to these meetings, and I would cry about how lonely I was. And the new people would say, you know, keep coming back. That kept me clean. One of the goals I knew for the meeting to grow was to get on the meeting list. So we were looking for NA intergroup. And it probably took 4 or 5 months till, you know, I tracked down, like, it just was, NA was to get a hold of a meeting list. The meeting list you could be 6 months old. It'd be torn, crossed out, written over, and you would really go to meetings wondering if there's a meeting there. And I say that because, you know, like I would go. Lansdale was an hour drive. Collegeville was an hour drive. Now there was Oxford Circle, but it was a lot of times it was hard. You would be going to these meetings hoping that after this long drive that there would be something there. Eventually a couple other meetings sprung off of the meeting that I had started, and we started having, there was 10, 12, sometimes as many as 15 people in the meeting, and we did become part of area service. One of the meetings that sprung off was called Humeville Sunday Steppers. And what we did for the step meeting, as John had mentioned, we had the AA 12 and 12. And we crossed out AA, we put NA, we put Narcotics Anonymous, alcohol, we put drugs. I think we were stymied by John Barleycorn. I don't know what we put. Like, you know. There's just nothing that kind of related there. And truthfully, now you got to look at it from my perspective, okay? I have a couple years clean at this point. No one's ever mentioned the steps. And, you know, like, I had attended some AA meetings early on, too. My experience in AA wasn't much better. I was 17 when I got clean in February 27th, 1977. I'm 51. I would go to AA meetings early on, and I would hear, oh, I have grandchildren your age. It's so wonderful to see someone like you get in and haven't gone through the years of pain that we went through. I'm like, dude, I'm hallucinating, like, my first 40 days. What are you talking about? No pain. Like, I may be this way for, you know, and I couldn't relate to them, and I didn't feel, you know. And then the other part where I made some AA meetings was when I got my dating privileges in group. And we used to go to the meetings, and I would go, George, I'm an addict and alcoholic. Our rehab doesn't make us go to meetings, but we're... just here to meet chicks. We just got our dating privileges, you know. And they would blast us, you know. And then, you know, so I couldn't understand why. I was being honest, you know. But so there was like all this stuff's going on, and nobody has. There's no one leading. I mean, I'm 19, 20, you know. I don't know, people will look at me because I have all the clean time. I must know shit, you know, and I didn't know nothing, you know. We finally joined area service. I wrote a list of stuff that I'll go over at some point, stuff that I was involved with all during this period from like 79 to like 82. And I wore a lot of hats because it needed to be done. Like that was, you know, but my first position at area was PI chair, and Bob P was the world PI. So we were going to a regional meeting, which wasn't called a regional meeting. At least my understanding of it, we called it luncheons with other areas, you know. So they would have a spread of lunch meat out, and we would get some sandwiches. I didn't really know the whole purpose of it, but we would go and kind of hang out. But this guy Bob was going to be there from Pittsburgh. And he was PI chair, so I was now PI, and we had questions like, can we do an NA movie? Let's see, we want to do a play at the Oxford Valley Mall. We had all kinds of grandiose ideas. In my area, one of the things I failed to tell you, the rehab was all like under 21. So all like when we're driving around going to meetings, it's all young kids, you know, and that's so like, you know, besides being new in recovery, like we had no idea what we were doing at all. And so there were a lot of great, you know, but that was my main purpose. But the consensus, we had gotten word that we couldn't use the AA 12 and 12, and we we were told that we were violating traditions. And it, like, crossed out all the alcohol words, like, you know, we didn't get it. Like, so we went there to confront this guy, Bob, who had been to the world, and the world made a ruling. We were going to let them know that, you know, that that sucked, and you know, we were going to straighten them out. And so we got up there, and Bob gave me some great ideas for PI, and then came the time for the book, and he said, yeah, you know, it's a violation of our traditions. And we said, well, then how are we going to have our step meeting? Which, to me, I still didn't understand why we were having step meetings, because I didn't have a sponsor, and I didn't work any. So I worked the steps by reading them and go, well, I stayed clean today, so I did step one. And, you know, and I told some my dad I was sorry, so I did a ninth, and that was how I worked the steps, you know. And that was how I thought everybody else did. I really didn't know. But so we go there, and he says, well, you can't use it. But what they did say is that you can use NA literature. That's all that you're allowed to use. So the next question is, if you listen to John, what's that? Because we never had any literature. I used to run to the library and use the copy machine to copy our pamphlets, so I had something to hand out to new people in the meeting. And God forbid if there was an extra guy and I had to give out the last one, who knows when I could make a copy of that one again to have that pamphlet available. Like, you really, you wanted to give it to them, but you didn't want to give it to them, you know? You know, so it's like, you know, kind of, you know, but it, and that's how it was, you know. The same with the meeting list. Man, you did not give away the last meeting list because, like, you don't know when you would get another one. So he said NA literature, and we were like, what's, you know, combative, what's that? And he said, well, what they did say is any literature that an NA member writes. You mean we can write the steps? And he was like, well, yeah, if you're an NA member. So now, being the guy with the most clean time there, I knew that that meant they were going to elect me to chair this new, because they went, we're going to write the NA steps. And I'm like, no, 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 no. You know, like, I didn't want any part to do that. You know, I quit school at 16. I had straight Fs, and English was my worst subject. You know, so, like, you know, I was not cut out for this. You know, the PI, you know, all right, and I still did. You know, it was all grandiose ideas. So I just kind of added this along with it. But what we wound up doing was we started in Kenny L. and Phil S.'s apartment. They had an apartment in Bristol. And we decided we were going to write the NA steps so we had NA literature to use in our step meetings. And I still didn't see the purpose of any of this shit, you know. I mean, I really didn't. But I, you know, I'm going along because we did everything together. That's what we did, everything. We went to the diner together. We went to area service together. We went to the meetings together. After the meetings, they would come over to my place. We did all kinds of stuff together. And we wound up recording meetings on the steps and transcribing them. One of the things that Bob said, if you guys decide to write the steps, then you need to call the World Literature Chair. He's writing the NA book, the NA Big Book. That's what we called it when we were in the process of writing it. And he said you need to give him a call. And he gave us the number, and I'm like, you know, all right. And so we're in the middle of our thing, and then somebody brings up, well, shouldn't we call this guy down in Atlanta, you know, the world literature guy? And then we look around, and everyone's like, I'm not calling him, you know, I'm not calling, because it's the world, you know, like, and we're just, you know, teenagers. So the guy who owned the Kenny, whose place we were in, he said, look, you got the most clean time. I'll dial, you talk. And so I see the name. It's B-O-S period. So, you know, the phone rings, and the guy answers hello. And I go, hello, is there a boo there? And they're like, what? I go, boo. And they go, you mean Bo? I go, now I knew Bo was B-E-A-U, so this wasn't, you know. So I put Bo on, and I said to Bo, I'm George R. I'm in Bristol, Pennsylvania, and we're writing the NA Big Book. Hallelujah! God bless you! Oh, guys! Go. She's like a preacher or something on the line, you know? They were doing the same exact thing in Atlanta that we were doing at the same exact time. Wow, like, you know, it was just goosebumps. Neither one of us really knew about the other committee. And so I explained to Bo what we were doing, and Bo said, you know, I got to meet y'all. And this was right before the East Coast Convention, and he said, we were debating about going up to the East Coast Convention, but we're coming up there now. We're coming up to see you guys, you know. And so 2 weeks later, I met him at the East Coast, and there was a meeting in there about our basic text at the NA Big Book, and he went over, you know, like, this process that they were going about, and to say that we welcomed him with open arms would not be the correct statement. Very skeptical, a lot of cynicism. We heard this before, like that kind of stuff. And but by this point, I was kind of on board with that we're writing the steps and we're just going to do it, because we were doing it. We were in the process of doing it. I don't know if it made any sense, but at least it would be, you know, it would be NA. And now I want to mention the East Coast, too. That was a phenomenal thing. With these regional luncheons that we had, there was talk of this convention coming up. I didn't know what a convention was. None of us knew, at least in Lower Bucks there. And, like, they, I guess it was the Williamsport area, was looking for us to support them, for the Philadelphia area. And none of us knew, like, what are we going to do? And they all they asked us to do was to buy as many pre-registration packages as we could so that they would know. And that's what we did. I went up to the East Coast with, like, 3 carloads of people. The emotions at that convention were something that I don't know that I could ever experience again. It woke us all up to that Narcotics Anonymous is real. You know, I wrote something recently. I think I said I might have got 1,000 hugs that weekend. You would walk through the lobby and you'd just, like, hug people as you walk through, tears streaming down everybody's face. We couldn't believe that there were that many addicts in recovery in this area. It was an awakening, that changed everything. We were no longer isolated pockets of recovery. We knew about other areas and how they ran their meetings, and we started learning, not me, but our area did, about sponsorship and the steps. I was a real holdout. You know, I had a lot of clean time, you know, so why did I need the steps? I didn't understand, you know, I really didn't. And what wound up getting me onto the sponsorship and step stuff was seeing the new people come in and get sponsors and start working the steps and getting recovery. And, like, looking, and, you know, I guess that probably, you know, one of the, not the worst, but one of the feelings that I had that motivated me is I was living with the girl, laying in bed at night, and I remember just the loneliness that I felt. And I'm like, you know, what? There's something wrong here, you know? But yet I started seeing the people grow by working a program. Maybe an H is for new people. you know. And so I was able to learn from watching the new people get better that maybe it would apply to me too. But anyway, to get back to the basic text, I wound up after the East Coast. It just, we were out of our minds with all the stuff that, like, we had learned. It was just mind-boggling. And 2 weeks later, I met Bo down in, I think it's Greensboro, South Carolina. We met at an NA mini convention that was held at a Baptist retreat. And he gave me, he said, for our committee, we would need literature handbooks. And that's how I learned how to run our literature committee. He gave me like 7 of these handbooks, and we would pass it out, and we read what the positions were and how we were supposed to do this. He also gave me the NA tree so that I had an understanding of how our service structure worked. And then he was starting to instruct me how to run the literature committee. And I said, wait a minute. I said, I'm a high school dropout, and English was my worst subject. And he said, how dare you question God's calling? If God's picking you, how can you say no? And I looked at him, and I was like, you know, I'm thinking, you're not God, but I don't see anybody else here either, you know? I mean, I was of the willing, and so I went back home, and we started converting our transcribing meeting into, a literature committee. And after that, I went to the World Convention in Wichita. And after that was the Lincoln, Nebraska Literature Conference. To get out there, I said, I was a young guy. I didn't have any money. I couldn't afford a plane ticket. And what I could afford was a train ticket after I sold my washer and dryer. But it was like an 11 or 12 day trip. And after buying the ticket, it only left me with maybe $70 for food and room. And Bo told me, don't worry about it, just come out there. And I was pretty worried, I got to tell you, especially when I got my train took me to Hutchinson, Kansas. And basically there was what looked like a shed was the train station and nothing. And I got dropped off, and the train took off, and I looked around, and I was standing there by myself. Like, oh, man. And then out of nowhere, this guy comes, Jim N. from Lincoln, Nebraska. That's who I was supposed to meet, but he was a little late. And this guy, going into the city was a big deal for me, you know. Going into Philadelphia, you know, that was, a trip. But he took me to the World Convention, and I stayed with, some guys from I think Wilkes-Barre. I remember a guy named Blair. I don't even know who I stayed with at the convention. But I ran out of money at the convention. I remember I bought a convention shirt. Me and a girl split it, and we cut it in half, and I took half, and she took half. And that's all I could afford. When I got to Lincoln, Nebraska, I was out of money, and we were going there for a week. And that was like a big concern for me. But what they did is they passed a hat, and I attended a few of the literature conferences. Not all of them was I just destitute, but at this one, that was one of the things. It was a lot of fear. I was breaking boundaries for me that I, you know, wasn't comfortable with. But they passed the hack, and they went out and bought food, and they made sure that we ate. And then that's all. It just was a lot of trust and love and people taking care of one another. That's how the literature conferences work. Didn't matter where you came from, who you were. Everyone was treated, you know, like that. In Lincoln, we did a Greg P. There was discussion. For me, it's like all everything's coming at once. I'm not understanding nothing. I'm crazy. I'm hungry. What we wound up doing is they used a little white book, and we used that for an outline for the basic text. And what we did is we went through on the chalkboard. Greg wrote the outline, and eventually they wrote it down on paper. And then what we did is we had like foot lockers, and there was a few of them that was just filled with writings from over the years that addicts had, you know, sent in to World Service, and it was just sitting there, and they didn't know what to do. And so what our job was to read it, and then we would file it into what section or what part of the outline we thought it fit in. Sometimes we would cut it in half, only do a paragraph, it was a process. But Lincoln was basically sorting that material out into what chapters that the material belonged in. You would sort. Oh, this is steps, and I wouldn't even have to read the whole thing. It would just go in with the step pile. You know, the idea was to plow through it and separate it so that we could start using it. We towards the end of it, we started doing some cut and paste, and I don't know if anybody here has ever seen it. What the cut and paste looks like. But I brought some from my own personal archives. But as you can see, let me see what I had here. This is, it says chapter 9, 11-28-80. As a group, we would sit in, we'd be going through the outline, and then somebody would go, I got this, and they go, to remain drug-free for a day require the desire to stop using. And then we'd go, great. And they would cut it out, paste it on here, and then somebody would go, hey, I got the next piece. And they would read this. It was great. And they cut it out and put it in here. And then once we filled the page, we'd make a copy of it. That's how we process the material to make it into some kind of order. Here you can see there's all different handwritings. Wasn't a lot of typing back then. Well, there was no computers, I don't think. It was cool. I mean, I overnight, you know, this stuff was happening. And then I would give... Now, I was going to these, but I wasn't, like, there was no area representation. This was just something that, like, our group of kids did. I used to go to meetings in the Northeast of Philadelphia, people started to know who I was from the different thing. I was doing PI at this point. After the East Coast Convention, I was co-chair for the second East Coast Convention. I was running this literature committee. At one point, I was actually making more service meetings than I was regular meetings, which I would never recommend anybody to do, but that was, it just needed to be done, and I was doing it. At this point, after Lincoln, Bo had given me chapter 8 and chapter 10, and the reason why we got two chapters to work on was I used to go to, my Friday night used to consist of going to Oxford Circle meeting in Philadelphia at 8 o'clock. And I would hang out with those guys there. Then I would go to midnight meeting in Doylestown and Bucks. And I would meet Billy there from Allentown, Billy was always screaming at me that Allentown needed support and could I help support him. So kind of what I would do is then meet Billy at the midnight meeting, and we would then go hang out at Billy's house, and Saturday morning I would go 10:30, I would support his meeting in Allentown. And kind of, I couldn't have made a lot of sense back then, but Billy would, you know, this guy's staying clean, he's doing these things, you can do it too. And, you know, and he was showing that there were people outside of Allentown getting clean, and that's what, you know, I helped support, you know, Billy, and we did that, I don't know if we did it for a year, but it sure felt like it. The people in the Northeast asked me to run a literature committee in Northeast Philadelphia because they didn't have transportation like we did in the suburbs, and they couldn't get to our meetings that we had. And the people in the suburbs didn't really want to go into the Northeast, so the solution was we worked on Bucks County, Bristol, worked on the A chapter of the basic text. Northeast Philadelphia worked on the 10th chapter of the basic text. And what we did is basically what I was showing you. We did the cut and paste. We would write stuff. We would add that into it. And when we went to the Memphis, when I went, me, there's a picture of me, this guy here, Ted. He's from Northeast Philadelphia, and Teresa. We went to Memphis together, and the work that we had done on the 8th and 10th chapters got submitted there, and then it was further refined. It, basically, that was what the process was in these conferences, was to refine the work, to refine the work, to refine the work. I was talking with Jim earlier. I have some at Memphis. I remember staying up late at night with Jim, and me, him, and Kathy from Memphis worked on the style sheet, which later I came to hate. I didn't tell Jim that, but it was the style sheet was the AA terms versus NA terms, so that we would develop our own language, and you know, sober, clean. I don't know. Sobriety, recovery. There was a lot of different things. Keep it simple. What was it? Easy does it. We were going spinning and coming. We had all kinds of stuff. Well, later on, people actually started using that terminology and correcting me and telling me that like I needed to, you know, say the end. Like, dude, I wrote that shit. Like, you know. you could see that people were. But anyway, out of Memphis came the Gray Book, and Memphis was a big conference. Probably at that point, I got to say. I spent a lot of days in recovery where I didn't sleep, like I might not sleep for the weekend, either doing just, it was insanity. But, you know, I was living large, you know. It just was a lot of things to do, and it was just like, you know, so wonderful. Like, you know, sleep was, you know, not an option. One of the coolest things that I've experienced is when the Gray Book was shipped up to Philadelphia. Bo had given me a call and said that, you know, it's at the bus station. I'm thinking I had to go somewhere like around the Bridge and Pratt thing. I don't know, but I remember it was, you know, like this crummy place, but I got this box. I went with my girlfriend, and let's just say they were less enthusiastic, all of them, less enthusiastic of the time I spent doing things in recovery and less time spent with them. And so when I got the basic text, or the great book, I'm sorry, I opened them up and I picked the first one up and I said, can you believe this? This is the first NA book in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia. Like I said, I'm getting goosebumps. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, you have such a big ego. And I said, no, I go, you don't get it. Like, this will never happen again. This will never, ever happen again. Like, this is the first time. I said, I can actually give an addict a book and they can read it. And it says Narcotics Anonymous, written by addicts. Like, and that was my goal. I like talking. I'm a talker. Half the times I don't make sense. And I always struggle with the new people to say encouraging stuff. But man, if I had it written, like, I can give somebody a book and say, like, read this, dude. This is going to help you. Like, that was what drove me to be a part of this. Is so that I could help people. Because a lot of times I felt inadequate. I would watch people talk to the newcomers, and I just didn't know how to do it. It might be that I didn't work a program, but I knew that this could help people, and that's what I wanted to do. Almost instantly, there were Grey Book meetings, step meetings using the Grey Book. Each group got their own book. And each member that attended the conference got their own copy. I still have my copy, and it, you know, I look at it, and to me, that was the accomplishment. Now, this is until print, is what this is about. At this point, I was starting to get some ideas that maybe I needed a sponsor and started working the steps. And I started, after I got done co-chairing the East Coast, and after the Grey Book came out, I think both the literature committees all but dissolved. Some of the other things that I was involved with that I didn't talk about is we also had formed, at this point I was living in Ivyland with Pete Now, who, after Memphis, well, I still went to Santa Monica, so I'll go into that. I was also part of, we were trying to get clubhouse, an NA clubhouse, in Bucks County. But we were just overamped, and what we wound up doing, was donating our proceeds to Philadelphia, who wound up starting what was known as the Reality Clubhouse in Philadelphia. And that was like we had started the committee and then turned it over to them, and they finished it. The Grey Book, like I said, after the East Coast, the Grey Book, the meetings, like, starting were, every time you turned around, there was new meetings. It started expanding at a phenomenal rate. I wound up, John had talked about, I wound up going out in 81 to California. I was going out for the, I guess it was the fourth literature conference at Santa Monica in 81. I remember Bo let me chair one of the conference meetings. I think he was testing out. We spent, you know, there was passion in all these conferences, unbelievable passion, because once this was out, like, it was out. So, you know, like, if you didn't like what was in there, like, you needed to speak your piece and be a part of, you know. And I chaired a conference meeting where we spent 2 hours discussing whether the word chronic should actually be in our basic text. And it was a heated discussion. One word, That's all the meeting was on, was chronic. Because chronic means fatal. You know, it means that there's no hope. But it is if you continue to use, and it went back and forth like that, and whether that should actually stay in the basic text. Like, people just insanely crazy on their point of view. We wrapped it up with tabling it, and it was dealt with later. But, when I went out to California, one of the things I had talked to at our regional meeting, they had, I had mentioned we haven't been sent any representation out to California to World Service as the Philadelphia region or, well, actually our area, but our region. Although we didn't really have a name, we were sort of formed and a bunch of areas met together. It was like New Jersey, Connecticut, I don't remember New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, West Virginia. This was all part of one region that we would get together. And I offered that I was going out there, that I would represent us out there if, you know, they wanted, and there was some debate, and then at first they weren't going to send any representation, which I didn't understand, and then they finally said, well, all right, we'll send you out there, and then the next thing they said, well, we're going to pay your airfare, and I was like, I'd never taken a dime from NA before, you know, and I'm like, you know, I said, I already bought my ticket, you know, and they said, well, we'll pay for your room, and I said, well, I'm going for the literature conference. I don't need a room. Because we didn't. I never got a room at any of the. We stayed either at the conference or I had never worried about where I was going to sleep. That's just how it was. Wherever the home area was that was, they opened. Now, what we wound up doing was staying there. So I mentioned, some guy that was involved in the movie industry, and there was, plaques all over the place. There had to be like 35 of us staying in this guy's house. This guy wasn't there. And I was like, yeah, you picture, like, I would see stuff and I'm going, you know, it's not my place, but I sure wouldn't leave it like that. I don't know. I couldn't do that. I don't think I could do that with my house, is just throw these guys the keys and say, have a blast. I'd be stopping back in about a half hour, you know. That's the way it was. So they wound up paying my airfare, and then there was another guy, Larry North, who was my co-chair, and I don't think they were going to nominate him, and he wanted to be my co-chair. I don't know why that, you know, but he felt that I should have been RSR, so I went out there. One of the things that while I was at the conference, there was two things that were on what became Mid-Atlantic, but on our region's mind. One was if the basic text was going to be ready, and we didn't know because we didn't have the only thing we had was the grade book, but there was some thought that there may be a more refined version coming out of Santa Monica's conference that may hit the conference, the World Service Conference. So they gave me the conscience that if I thought the book was ready, I could vote yes on publishing the book. The second one was that we always had trouble getting literature, all the areas, that they wanted me to go out and see the World Service office and give a report as to why it's so incompetent, more or less, from our point of view. Okay, their point of view was they were working, doing as much as they can with as little as they had. That is probably more the reality. But 3,000 miles away, it looked a little bit different. When I got out there, Jimmy Kay stated that the office is closed for remodeling and you can't see it. I'm like, are you kidding me? We've never sent a rep out, and I'm representing half a dozen states, and you know, and so I had a resentment for a while with Jimmy over that. And the book never came up for a vote. It wasn't ready. But truthfully, for me, I was very satisfied with having the gray book. I could see how much it was helping our fellowship, how much we were, communicating and coming together over this. After that conference, I started winding down in service. I think my second East Coast convention commitment I had done, I did go to the third East Coast, but just as a participant. I don't know, it was just really, the other thing that, where I lived, in Ivyland. I forgot about the other conference I participated in. I did participate later on. I got out of service for a while, and then we had a conference at Ivyland where I used to live. I had moved out, I'm going to say, in 81. I lived there for a year, and I couldn't stand living with Pete now. I'd go to get a glass of water, and I literally had to take the dishes out of the sink so I'd get the glass out of the spigot. And while I was talking on the phone, there would be tumbleweeds of dust blowing across the, besides the mice coming out of the toaster. It was a real guy's pad, you know. So I moved out on my own. Pete was doing the Freedom Connection literature, and which is kind of interesting. I looked through it recently. I didn't remember. These newsletters really kept us together. There's also, like, the Rainbow Connection was out of Atlanta. Our literature committees used to write stuff and send it to the Rainbow Connection, and then we would get a copy of the Rainbow Connection, and we would see something we wrote was, like, in there, and, like, you know, like, that was really, that would motivate us to, like, want to, you know, write more. Pete did the Freedom Connection, and one of the things that he did, it was like a news bulletin of what's going on in NA. Besides, the Rainbow Connection was more, I would say, more like writings and stuff, inspiration. This was inspiration, but it also, there's a lot, I don't know if you've ever looked through these, Dan, but there's a lot of history in them, like who's area chair and the upcoming events and different things like that. And later on it wound up becoming the clean sheet, which I'm sure, you know, people have heard of. But that was also going in our house while, you know, the clubhouse committee, the literature committees, like this place was just nonstop. And then Al, who lived with Al, later on became part of, like, they did the at Ivyland was the story conference and the conference on the pamphlets. I was participating of the story conference, which I was asked to write my story. At this point, I had over 4 years clean. I got clean when I was 17, and they wanted someone's experience who got clean as a teenager that had some recovery now, and they felt that that needed to be a part of the basic text. I was very hesitant, and I turned them down quite a few times on writing my story. And the reason was is I had talked to Greg P. Through a lot of these conferences, and Greg's story was in the little white book. And one of the things that he would tell me is that he said, like, he would go to a meeting, and, like, he'd be in the meeting, and people would be, like, pointing, and, you know, and he became the face of Narcotics Anonymous in his home area because people would, his stories in the white book, you know, so like he represents NA. And he said it becomes hard to be human. Anything that I do wrong is, you know, like, but your story's in the little white book. I would expect more out of you. You know, I knew I wasn't up for that challenge. but after I had a talk with Bo and Greg, and I wrote my story, and it wound up in the basic text. And it was, for me, it was a little bit of a struggle at times, because it, you know, I want to just be me, but sometimes I struggle with being me, you know, and it really is real easy to be this when, you know, people were asking you to sign your autograph on the basic text for your story, or people come up and they're so glad to meet you because your story's in the basic text. You know, it's something I struggle with a lot in recovery. But, you know, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And I, you know, it took a long time. At times I've been there, and at times it's been a struggle. Right now, that's why I'm here today, is also one of the things one of the websites that I was on, that I'm belong to, I started seeing people who had started NA in their areas. I would, you know, rip Joe so-and-so, and it's a shame nobody was able to document what he participated in, and the history's lost. And I looked at it, and I said, you know, I grew up in NA, and, you know, NA's given me everything that I have today. I think it would be irresponsible of me not to share what I participated in so other people can understand how we got to where we're at. The other thing I was hoping, for my own pleasure, I was looking forward to seeing, there's some people that I haven't seen for 25 years that I've seen today and yesterday. And, I told my wife it's like kind of like my 25th reunion, you know. I don't know. I'm honored to have been a part of all this. It was just being there. I mean, that's all, you know. A lot of times I was pushed into positions by other people because they thought I was more capable than I thought I was. And it turns out that they were right. And I just happened to get clean at that time when there needed to be this stuff to be done. I look at these pictures and it was just a real cool time. And it was, for me, it was the growing up process and me finding myself through NA. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, George. Can we close the meeting with a serenity prayer?
I'm going to go over. 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 I'm going to go over.